where Norwalk comes first for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is the marvelous comedian. We've known her for so many years. If I read your bio and list of accomplishments, we'd be running out of interview time. Paula Poundstone will be back at the Ridgefield Playhouse on September 22nd. Of this month, and we actually have a pair of tickets to give away later in the show. She has been a frequent person on our show ever since we began here in 2006. I can't believe we have that long a run. Paula, you have an even longer one, and welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show today. How are you, Paula? How are you?
Well, thank you very much. I'm good enough.
You're good enough. Listen, Paula, we've got this thing. Paula, I got to tell you what's going on in Greenwich. We have this thing where yesterday, where Project Veritas, you know Project Veritas, they descended
on. No, are they?
Okay, Project Veritas is an avowed conservative undercover group that likes to play sort of gotcha and catch people in positions of power and influence saying stuff that if they knew they were on camera, they would never say. But on the other hand, is sometimes very important revealing things about the way in which they do their job. So what they did is they had a young pretty thing, and I'm calling her that, a YPT, because that's how Project Veritas refers to its reporters. They had a young pretty woman whose body we can't see, it's blurred, but her voice is on camera. And she sat down a couple of times in some kind. We don't know if it was a date. We don't know what this man thought he was doing, whether he thought he was speaking with a fellow liberal, a fellow anybody. We have no idea. But he sits down in a very trusting way and smiles as if he's talking to someone of a like-minded nature. And he's an assistant principal of an elementary school at Cass Cobb, which happens to be, by the way, where Governor Lamont grew up, all in Greenwich. And he's in Greenwich, a very wealthy community. I'm sure you've been there. And he is talking about the fact that he gets to decide who is hired as a teacher for the elementary school and how he screens them to make sure he only hires liberal people. He talks about the fact that Catholics are brainwashed. He doesn't want to hire a Catholic. He won't hire anybody who passes an interview, who in an interview says that they think that maybe children are too young to decide on their own gender status. That's a complete, that they're out if they say anything like that at all. And he says he won't hire anybody over the age of 40 because they're too set in their ways. So he talks like this, and it's a 10-minute video, and he has no idea, Paula, that he's being mic'd. And this comes to light. And a million people see the video, and the next thing you know, he's on administrative leave, and last night there was a big press conference, and a lot of politicians came, and our governor, who's a Democrat, and our state majority leader, who's a Democrat, and the people in Greenwich who are Republicans, all different, you know, different political parties are all piling down on him and saying that, you know, if it's true after an investigation that they find out he really is this way, thought this way, and acted this way, you know, that he violated a lot of Connecticut laws. So you're a parent, and really at the heart of this, the heart of this is a lot of parents feel like their values are not being transmitted in the public school system. And I know you've spoken a lot about your own children. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on all of this. What do you think?
I wanted from our elementary school. Is it what grade level? Is it elementary school?
Elementary, yep. Yeah.
I just wanted my kids to be able to read. I thought that was really important.
It is, yeah. I know.
I mean, you know, education, like so many things, has fads, right? Fads run through education. When I was in, was it the sixth grade, I think, we didn't have history that year. We weren't taught history because we were taught about caribou. It was some experimental educational program. And I remember when we had to do like the testing, you know, the SRA test or whatever. It was some sort of standardized testing. I remember they said to us, don't worry about the history questions. You guys didn't have history.
Oh, my goodness.
And the following year, I mean, I I don't really remember anything about Caribou either, honestly. But the following year, at the same school, they were rebuilding the school. At the same school, they were going to have the classes without walls. Do you remember that idea?
Yes. I never liked it.
I'll tell you, the year after the classes without walls year, they built walls.
Yeah.
It was such a stupid idea. I mean, it was such an unbelievably stupid idea. I remember my kids, they came through with the program. It was called Cool Tools. And it was a, what was it? It was a, it was a conflict resolution, philosophy that they were trying to teach the kids. I remember they had like a mural on the outside of the school that had the symbols of Cool Tools. It was one of the stupidest things I ever heard of. The kids were supposed, you know, in elementary school, where they're at that age where, you know, they're constantly bonking into each other and they can't keep their hands off each other.
Right.
So they were teaching them to say to one another, "You're in my bubble of space."
Okay. In my bubble. Okay.
One day I was doing a benefit show for the school where, you know, largely I was entertaining the parents. And I said to them, "We do want our kids to be able to go on a city bus, don't we?"
Yeah, really.
I mean, can you even imagine turning to someone on a bus and saying, "You're in my bubble of space"?
Or a subway. Right.
And the following year, I mean, I don't know if they ever painted over the Cool Tools or not, but they didn't do that anymore. I think people's hearts are in the right place usually when they're trying to come up with yet another good system for teaching. But I just wanted my kids to be able to read.
I understand. I get it.
The bubble of space, I wasn't so worried about. One of the things they did was one of the things that was in the Cool Tools was that when there was a conflict, the teacher was trying, you know, between, say, two kids, the teacher was trying to, you know, teach them to resolve. And so they would do this thing where they would have, like, say a kid called another kid a name, right? Mm-hmm. And now the kids come to the teacher and they say, "Well, you know, she called me a name." And the teacher would make that kid tell the kid that they had called a mean name. She would make them say five positive things about them.
Oh, interesting.
It was awful. I remember one day I happened to be there when there was two kids who were good friends, had some sort of spat.
Okay.
And they come to the teacher, right? It was like Julia and Bailey, I think it was. And so they come to the teacher, and the teacher says to Julia, Bailey says, "You know, Julia called me, you know, stupid," or whatever it was. And they come to the teacher, and the teacher says to Bailey, to Julia, she says, now you have to say five positive things about Bailey. Well, you know, basically Julia was in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Julia did what everybody does when they're in trouble, which is she kind of panicked. She kind of just, you know, she thought, "Oh, I'm in trouble." And she sort of shut down a little bit. And so here she is with, like, her best friend. And she can't think of one thing to say positive. But it's not because she doesn't think positive things about Bailey. It's because when you're all of a sudden told, it's like if a cop pulls you over and were to say to you, "Okay, you know what, you were speeding. I want you to tell me five rules of the road."
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a person driving who could think of two? I couldn't. I'm not sure I really know the rules of the road to begin with, honestly. I still don't understand a four-way stop. I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it when there's a traffic light, but when there's stop signs, even the way it's written, the person on the right has the right of way.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's a square. We're all on the right.
Yeah,
I don't understand what that means. So anyways, I don't know. I think a lot of these things come in waves. I did hear you say to the last guy on the phone that the person said he wouldn't hire anybody under 40.
Can you imagine? Only would hire anyone under 40. He won't hire anyone over 40. 40's his cutoff. Right. Can you imagine?
Okay, got it. No, I can't imagine. And by the way, I wonder how old that guy is and when he's prepared to retire.
I was just, well, unfortunately, he's coming for an early retirement as of yesterday, I think. Poor thing. He's done.
Well, how old is he?
It's a good question. I looked at him. He's got gray hair, but it looks prematurely gray, like silvery gray. He could be in his, what would you say, late 30s, 40s? He could be. He looks in his 40s himself. He does.
He might.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because...
It was crazy, Paula. I know.
You don't really... My high school math teacher, who was very good when I was in high school, although I was a terrible student.
What state? Where did you go to high school?
Massachusetts.
Okay.
I went to Lincoln Sudbury Regional High. And high school math teacher, yep. Faye Roop, she used to be Faye Nissenoff, but then she married Charlie Roop, who was my biology teacher. It was an interdepartmental marriage. When my son was in high school and he was drastically behind in math, I asked my high school math teacher, who I was friends with, if she would tutor him via Zoom.
Wow.
And so she did. And she did it for free. And I would, my son was an electronics addict, which was an enormous problem.
Yes.
And so him being near a computer was a problem.
Yeah.
But so I would set him up at a table with the stupid computer, you know, so he's going to do his Zoom math lesson with my high school math teacher. And then I would be just around the corner so that I could tell if he was messing around with the computer or not. But, you know, doing the dishes or whatever it was I was doing. I'm telling you, listening to her teach him math, you know, algebra or whatever it was like, it was like listening to an artist.
Wow.
You know, she was amazing. And you could feel her, you know, however many years of experience all come to bear on my son's problem.
And how lucky.
I felt like I was wrapped up in a burrito.
Wow.
I felt so comforted. Like, you know what? She was so good at what she did. And he felt the same thing.
Did he get better in math? Brilliant. Did he really get stronger in math?
He did get better in math.
Yeah.
Did it mean anything in the end in his life? Probably not, but he did get better in math. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
My daughter, I remember when she was, and I admired the effort in terms of math textbooks for this. When my middle daughter was in middle school, they were the math textbooks were trying to make math more relevant.
Hmm. They do that. You talk about a fad. When math gets into fads, I want to kill myself. The latest fad is that, and it's not funny. It's been going on for a few years now, where if a child can find another way to get the answer, that's not acceptable. They have to find the answer in the way that the teacher wants them to. Otherwise, they get marked off. And in math, honestly, it's all about finding the answer. It's really not about how you got there. It's about getting there, in my opinion. Math is about results. You have to know the answer. When my daughter went to school, which was different than this method, she had a fifth grade teacher who used to teach her three ways to get an answer for every problem.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
My mother only made it to the eighth grade.
Really?
And so I remember in the fourth grade, doing long division, and I didn't understand that she had only made it to the eighth grade. And by the way, I don't think she was a good student through the eighth grade. So I didn't understand that an adult didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I figured if an adult was asking me to know, well, they must have known. I just didn't get that at all. And so I would be struggling with my homework, and I would ask my mother for help. And it was her tear stains that were on my math book. Not mine. Yeah. It wasn't good. It was, when my daughter would ask me for help with math, which wasn't necessarily my strength either, but, I remember this. So she had this one math book that, it would say stuff like, let's see, they had to bisect angles. Oh, and she was fine with that. She had no problem with that. But the last question in the angle bisection section was, name three ways you'll use this in adult life. Because they were trying to make it relevant.
Oh, yeah.
And although I admire
pizza.
Attempt,
pizza. That's the only thing that comes to my mind, Paula Poundstone. Pizza.
Exactly what I said to her. I said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You won't.
You won't. Exactly.
Unless you're serving pizza to some really picky people. There just isn't a reason that you're going to bite that. Now, I have talked to audience members because I have asked the audience before, how many people here have ever used bisecting angles? And there are people who have for the line of work that they're in.
Okay.
But they were trying to make it sound like just around the house.
Yeah.
You know, just in your daily life, you're going to be bisecting angles. It's just not true.
No.
You know, I think even pizza, I believe they have a device.
That's cool. Yeah, the pizza cutter. It's excellent. You just do the rolling and you just do it by your eye and you get a good 8 slices out of it. And that's about it. I pretty much all my math problems, Paula Poundstone, always came down to a pizza pie anyway. That's how I visualized pretty much all of my math, which is why I stopped math in the 10th grade. And I never did proceed beyond geometry. That was it for me. I had some labs. I was telling this in the last segment. I had a math teacher who used to come in, and I'm not kidding, and he used to say, you know what? You're all a bunch of limousine liberal kids anyway. I don't think I'm going to teach math today. And he didn't teach us math.
Wow. Just,
yeah, what Lawrence High School. Dead? Lawrence High School, 1976 and 1977. And I know his name, but I'll call him Mr. P. Yep. And that's how I first heard the word limousine liberal. I'm like, what? What? Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard that term, limousine liberal. What
oh,
does
no?
It mean?
Oh, limousine liberal were people. This is what limousine liberals were. They were people that could afford to be liberal about social policies. This is in the 70s, mind you, because they had their fancy cars and they had their nice bank accounts. So they could be like fake liberals, like liberal, except if it came to their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Basically, it's hypocrites and phonies. That's what he was saying. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you know anything about my family, my own politics? What are you talking about? But he was an angry math teacher. And you know what he did? He didn't teach us any math. That was how he got his revenge.
Wow.
And it crippled me the rest of my academic life. That's the truth. I was in an honors math class. I didn't learn any math. And that was it. I never was able to do pre-calc or calculus or anything, because if you don't learn the building blocks of mathematics, you cannot move forward. You have to keep building on a foundation. You have to. Yeah.
My oldest daughter has cerebral palsy, and she had to do exercises every day. And we would be told that, you know, that she should do, you know, we'd be given this list of exercises and it would be, you know, three sets of 30 or something. So there's a lot of counting involved. And because I was very, you know, if I was told by the physical therapist that she needed to do this, and this, then guess what? I made sure she did this, and this.
Yeah.
And so there's all this counting. And because she had cerebral palsy, one of her, she had learned very early on in life that no one really knew what she could or couldn't do. Mm. And so it was very easy for her to fake that she couldn't do stuff. And a lot of people in an academic setting were unwilling to challenge her.
Of
because
course.
They didn't, I don't know, they didn't want to. They don't want to feel like they were pushing someone too
Correct.
Hard, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So it was very hard to get her educated because people felt like, oh, you know. And because she really would not give up the fake. I mean, she's not like that anymore, obviously, but she was at the time. So anyways, when we'd go do these exercises, you know, I'd count for her. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. And finally one day I went, you know what? Why am I counting? You count. Mm. And then I was like, you know what? Don't count by ones anymore. Count by twos. And then I was like, count by threes. That's how she learned her multiplication table.
Good for you,
and,
Paul.
And by the way, it's how I learned.
That's great.
My multiplication tables. I mean, I was really shaky on the sixes and sevens until my daughter had to do those exercises.
That's fantastic.
And we also set all the multiplication tables to songs.
Oh, how wonderful.
I feel very strongly that the math department in elementary schools needs to hook up with the PE department. Because when you do it in the form of an exercise.
It's great.
And a song, it sticks
in your head. And on that note, Paula, I'm going to have to say goodbye. You're going to be at Richfield Playhouse on September 22nd. We can't wait to see you again. Thanks for coming back to Connecticut. And I'm sure it's going to be a sold out show. I know you do. And we love having you. Paula Poundstone, thanks so much for being on the show today. Have a great day.
It was fun talking with you. Take care.
Me too. Bye. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.